Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Determine How Your Profit Will Be Spent Ahead of Time. Tom, nearly every dollar spent in a company is predetermined. Labor and material are tied to a job, and money has been allocated for each overhead expense, like rent, utilities, insurance, things like that. But it seems the redheaded stepchild is profit. What do you mean by that?
Well, Bill, first of all, the presentation will deal with the huge differences in net profit when viewed from an accounting perspective versus a cash flow perspective. But once the real net profit is determined, a company needs to follow Dave Ramsey's rule of telling every dollar where it needs to go. Translated, that means determining ahead of time what percentage of net profit will be allocated to be spent in four very specific areas.
Well, there's no question. And you know, Grandy & Associates has an online course entitled Money Matters, the Monthly Financial Review. Actually, you expanded on this a little bit in one specific area of that presentation, aren't you?
That's right, Bill. That's what it's all about.
Well, most people listening to this series are longtime subscribers of the program, and chances are they've already listened to several of Tom's past presentations or attended at least one of his classes over the past 34 years. Tom is the founder of Grandy & Associates and our unentitled leader. And now, let's listen to this month's Prophet University audio series presentation titled, Determine How Your Profits Will Be Spent Ahead of Time.
Many listening to this presentation have created a family budget, and they go by it on a regular basis. Within that budget, a certain number of dollars are allocated for the mortgage payment, cable TV, utilities, food, etc. Most people's paycheck is relatively consistent, so they know what money they have to work with. Unlike the government, when all the money is allocated, the individual just can't go out and print some more. When it comes to a company's budget, the principles are pretty much the same. Nearly all dollars a company brings in have been pre-allocated, except for profit. Let me say that again. Nearly all dollars a company brings in have been pre-allocated except for profit. Labor and material dollars are predetermined based on the job. All overhead dollars have been directed where to go. Specific dollars have been pre-allocated for rent, utilities, insurance, etc. However, profit tends to be the redheaded stepchild. It sits around until somebody decides to buy an extra tool, or perhaps the owner takes a weekend trip with the family. The profit literally gets frittered away until it's all gone. That needs to change. As Dave Ramsey says, we need to tell every dollar how it will be spent ahead of time. This presentation will deal with two very specific areas. The first will deal with determining the real profit the company actually earned from a cash flow perspective. Once we know what profit we actually have, we'll deal with what percentage of the real profit should be allocated for what. Profit from an accounting standpoint is far different than the real profit viewed from a cash flow perspective. Let me say that again. Profit from an accounting standpoint is far different than the real profit viewed from a cash flow perspective. Here's an example of an accounting P&L statement. Total income, $159,000. Total expenses, that's labor, materials, overhead, everything costs to run the company, $137,500. That leaves $21,500 as net profit from an accounting standpoint. Obviously, from an accounting standpoint, the company generated a $21,000 net profit, or 13.5%. Everything looks great. The bottom line is, the company will pay taxes based on the accounting net profit of $21,500. However, there's a slight problem. Additional money flowed out of the company from a cash flow perspective that accounting literally ignores. By the way, it's not the accountant's fault. The rules are set by the Internal Revenue Service. Your accountant is simply following the rules. The four areas that accounting and Uncle Sam totally miss from a cash flow perspective are equipment replacement costs, debt repayment, loan principal, and the Hill and Valley account. We'll discuss each one of these, after which it will tell us what our real net profit is from a cash flow standpoint. So let's begin with equipment replacement cost. Depreciation is an accounting term. It deals with what the company paid for a piece of equipment and or a vehicle years ago. Uncle Sam allows most vehicles to be depreciated or written off over a five-year period, although under certain circumstances, depreciation can be accelerated. However, no matter the time period used, the principle is still the same. The company is depreciating the original value of the equipment. And it shows up on the company's P&L statement as a line item called depreciation. Equipment replacement cost, however, deals with what it's going to cost in the future to replace that piece of equipment with cash when it wears out. Let's assume the vehicle will last the company another 4 years. It'll cost the company $40,000 to replace it 4 years from today. That means the company needs to build in $10,000 a year. That's the $40,000 divided by 4 years equals $10,000. Need to build in $10,000 a year into the overhead in order to be able to pay cash for the new piece of equipment 4 years from today. Equipment replacement costs are typically 25 to 50% higher than depreciation. It should also be noted that any money held back for replacing equipment will be considered profit by Uncle Sam, and taxes will need to be paid on it at the end of the year. The next area that's pretty much ignored by the accountant is debt repayment. Debt can take many forms. Might be a repayment of the line of credit, money owed the owner or the owner's family or a family member, or perhaps overdue taxes and penalties. Any principal payments on these items will not show up on the company's P&L statement. However, the dollars actually flowed out of the company. Let's keep it simple. Assume the company owes $100,000 on its line of credit. If the company generated a $25,000 net profit for the year, from the accounting perspective, and repaid $25,000 on their line of credit, what's the net result? The net result is that the company will have to pay taxes on the $25,000 net profit, but from a cash flow perspective, they have $0 left in the checkbook at the end of the year. The $25,000 earned went for principal payment on the line of credit and therefore does not show up as an expense on the P&L statement. Ouch. Do you get my point? Any money that flows out of the company for principal payment on debt does not show up on the P&L statement. Even though it literally flowed out of the company. What about loan payments? Loan payments are made up of principal and interest. The interest shows up on the company's P&L statement as an overhead cost, but the principal does not. As an example, let's assume the company has a $500 a month loan payment, $100 of which is interest, and $400 is principal. Only the $100 interest shows up on the P&L statement, but The company wrote a check for $500. From a cash flow perspective, all $500 flowed out of the company. Again, the $400 in principal did flow out of the company, but it does not show up in the P&L statement. While we're talking about loans, let's discuss no-interest loans. Don't be sucked in by a smooth marketing program on no-interest loans. It doesn't matter if the loan has interest or not. It's still a loan payment, and it must be paid each month. Make every effort to become debt-free as soon as possible. There will be another 2008-2009 coming eventually, and it will be the companies with the lowest overhead that survive. And the final area we're going to talk about is the Hill and Valley account. This will be a new term for most listening. The Hill and Valley account is literally money held back for those typical 90 slow days per year that most trades companies have. During those slow times, the bills still need to be paid. The Hill and Valley account basically saves money back to cover during those slow times. There are two ways to fund the Hill and Valley account. The first is included here, where the company literally picks a dollar figure and treats it like any other bill by putting back a specific amount of money into a savings account each month. We'll deal with the second way to fund the Hill and Valley account in a few minutes. Now let's return to our company. You remember that the total income was $159,000, and the total expenses, labor, material, overhead, etc., were $137,500. That left a net profit from an accounting standpoint of $21,500. However, we now need to subtract the four areas of cash flow that actually flowed out of the company to see what the company's real net profit was. So in our case, equipment replacement costs totaled $1,500 for the month. That needs to be subtracted, as well as a $3,000 payment on our line of credit. We then need to subtract out the principal on the loan payments of $2,479, as well as the designated $1,500 to be placed in the Hill and Valley account. These four items total $8,479, which represents real dollars that flowed out of the company but were not identified through accounting. That means instead of generating a net profit of $21,500 from an accounting standpoint, the real profit, from a cash flow perspective, dollars in, dollars out, shows a net profit of $13,021, or 8.2%. Well, there's a big difference between $21,500 and $13,021. Note the accounting P&L statement showed a net profit of $21,500, of which the company will be forced to pay taxes on. However, from a cash flow standpoint, the real net profit, that is money left in the checkbook, is only $13,021, or a net 8.2%. We now know what the company's real profit is. So, the next step is to predetermine how the real profit will be allocated each month. If you finished high school, chances are you've heard the term, all of nature abhors a vacuum. Simply stated, if there's an empty space or period of time that's unscheduled, it will tend to be filled with something. It's kind of that way with net profit. Any profit left in the company's operating account tends to disappear. To keep that from happening, we need to determine ahead of time how any net profit generated from a cash flow perspective will be spent. Net profit needs to be allocated in four different areas. Number one, profit sharing. Number two, allocated for debt reduction. Number three, the Hill and Valley account. And number four, money left in the operating account. Now let's review each one. Let's start with profit sharing. Chances are the company made a net profit because of the team. It wasn't just you, it's because of the team. The team is made up of all employees, from the owner to the parts runner. All worked hard to keep the company, to help the company to make a profit. Therefore, all should share in profits when the company makes money. Typically, the company will want to take 5% of the net profit and share it with all the employees. The company not only needs to predetermine how the overall net profit will be spent ahead of time, it likewise needs to determine how the profit sharing will be allocated well ahead of time. For example, let's say this particular company, the owner gets 20% of the 5% held back. So of that 5% held back, the owner gets 20%. Maybe the office manager gets 18%. Maybe the field supervisor gets 17%. Tech number one gets 11%. Tech number two, maybe 10%. Dispatcher or CSR gets 10%. Receptionist, 8%. Runner, maybe 6%. Allocations can literally be based on any criteria you wish, from income earned to years with the company. How you allocate the profit sharing is up to you. The important thing to note is that the percentages need to be determined before the profit is earned. Next money that needs to come out of our net profit is going to deal with debt reduction. Debt is a ticking time bomb. Debt is a ticking time bomb. When all is well, the company is growing, debt is seldom thought of. However, there's a good chance that at least some reading this article lived through 2008-2009, when the world, from an economic standpoint, came crashing down. Those with little overhead and little debt made it through. Others did not. Being totally out of debt should be every company's owner's goal. The sooner the company becomes debt-free, the better the owner will sleep. And when it comes to telling our net profit how to be spent, 40% of the net profit should be used directly for debt reduction. Let me say it again. 40% of whatever net profit you got left needs to be used towards debt reduction. Think about the benefits of being debt-free for a few minutes. Let's assume the company made a $500 monthly loan payment. When that loan is fully paid off, what happens to the $500 a month or the $6,000 a year that was part of the company's overhead? Right, it moves from being an expense into being net profit. The company's net profit increased $6,000 without increasing their pricing. As each loan is paid off, the company's net profit goes up. Best of all, when all profit is paid off, that 40% of the net profit allocated for debt reduction is no longer necessary, and it can be applied to other areas. So let's talk about the Hill and Valley account. What are the chances that it's going to rain in your area of the country at some point over the next 12 months? Certain areas of California see very little rain, while the Midwest generally gets lots of rain. In either case, it's going to rain at some point. It's just a matter of how often and how much. Well, guess what? Your company has slow times too. Typical trades company has roughly 90 slow days per year. During the slow times, how do bills get paid? Most companies borrow money on a line of credit. utilize credit cards, or they delay payments to their suppliers. Although those work, they're expensive, and they make the company less financially stable. A better way is to have monetary reserves held back for those rainy days. When we were talking about cash flow earlier, one of the things we subtracted from the accountant's net profit figure was a predetermined amount of money that the company was going to put back into its Hill and Valley account. In addition to that money, 40% of the real net profit should also go towards the Hill and Valley account. The long-term objective is to build up the Hill and Valley account until it can cover at least 3 months of the company's fixed overhead costs. However, building up the Hill and Valley account isn't just about covering 3 months of fixed overhead. There are huge needs for cash in every company. Think about receivables. Have your receivables increased over the past year or two? Chances are they have. What if receivables increased from $125,000 to $150,000? An increase of $25,000 may not be huge, but how's the company going to fund it? It takes cash. It takes extra cash. What about inventory? Has it increased over the past few years? Does the company have more equipment and/or spare parts in the warehouse than it did 2 years ago? If so, how was it funded? Right again, extra cash was needed. Does the company have any plans to expand either its current location or perhaps an additional location? If so, how will it be funded? The money must come from somewhere. We already discussed the objective of trying to stay out of debt. Once again, extra cash will be needed. The list could easily go on and on. Funding the Hill and Valley account is more than just funding overhead during slow times. It's about having funds available to properly manage and grow the company. Now, some of you have been doing a little bit of math in your heads. If that's you, and you're sharp in math, you've noticed that we've accounted for 85% of the net profit. Now the question is, what happens to the remaining 15% of net profit? The answer is, it stays in the company's checkbook, therefore building up a little bit of extra cash reserve. We've now achieved our goal. We've predetermined where every real net profit dollar will be spent. As time goes on, the company will eventually be out of debt. With the ability to buy extra inventory when it goes on sale, fund increasing inventory and accounts receivable, and/or to invest in expansion, the company owners sleep a lot better at night knowing that their real net profit is. They also rest better knowing that slow times are funded, debt is being systematically paid off, and the worries of increasing inventory and accounts receivable are funded. The real joy of being debt-free with money in the bank is flexibility. That 40% that was going to debt reduction can now be used for additional profit sharing, funding community service projects, placing more money in everyone's retirement account, or perhaps purchasing that cabin on the river that you've always dreamed about. Being disciplined on how the company spends its net profit can help the owner achieve dreams they never thought possible.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.